Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, April the 22nd. Another absolutely beautiful day in North Texas today with a little bit of rain, though, in between. There was some rain during the course of the day, but overall, just an absolutely beautiful spring day. Well, today we're going to talk about restarting the economy and some of the protests that are going on out there because, you know, you can sense that there is, you know, you can kind of understand both sides. You know, you want obviously an emphasis on health, but you also understand you got to get this economy started because, you know, we don't have any money. I mean, how much longer can we go on? And so that's, I think, the big conflict, and it's not an easy choice. It's not an easy choice whatsoever. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But on a related story, I want to begin with this. A lot of states are potentially going to go under or bankrupt. Now, Senator Mitch McConnell today floated the idea that some states should be allowed to go into bankruptcy. Now, I don't believe that legally a state can declare itself bankrupt, but when you have a situation like, let's look at Illinois. That's the one that always comes to your mind. Illinois, where you have completely unsustainable public pension programs, where people actually pay more, your taxes, you pay more taxes to support the pension program than you do property taxes to fix the streets or whatever. They have no way of getting out of the hole that they've put themselves in. New York is about the same. New Jersey is about the same. A lot of these northeastern states, Connecticut, Rhode Island, they're not far from that, and that's because these states have become very Democrat, but not just Democrat, but very much Democrats who have very close ties with the public sector union. So they have really, really loaded up the public sector unions with lots of contracts, lots of money, and these states are not going to be able to survive after Corona. Corona has dealt these states, obviously, especially New Jersey and New York, a very serious blow as far as their health, and obviously the country is helping them in that respect. But when it comes to the economics, that's a totally different story. So there's a big article today that appeared on CNBC. It was just available here in the last few hours, where they're basically projecting that a lot of states are going to have massive job cuts. And, you know, a lot of the public sector, you know, the kind of downsizing that we saw in the private sector, you know, we've been seeing that really in the private sector for quite some time. But you've had different times, you know, in the 70s and in the 80s and the 90s, where you had certain private sector segments downsize. Well, I think it's fair to say that you're going to see now a public sector downsizing for the simple reason that the federal government doesn't have the money to bail them out. And frankly, the other states are not going to participate in the bailout. I mean, a lot of the more prosperous states, the more Republican states, if you will, the reason that Texas is more prosperous than New York is it's not because we have oil. I mean, New York has the finance industry. So why are we more prosperous? Why is it that more people want to move to Texas? Why is it that New York, New Jersey, Illinois, even California, why is it that people leave those states and move to Texas and Oklahoma and Florida and so on? Well, the answer is taxes. That, you know, the middle class taxes are devastating in many of those states. So I think this is going to be the big story. You know, it'll be after we go through the virus and after we restart the economy. But I think looking into 2021, this could be a major story, whoever the president is. If it's a Democrat, let's say hypothetically Joe Biden is elected president, this is going to put the Democrats in a very serious situation, whoever the Democrat president is, because he's going to have basically downsized their constituency, which is the public sector. So you're going to have President Biden say to the public sector unions, folks, I cannot bail you out. I don't have any money. And this is going to create a lot of friction within the Democrat Party. If it's President Trump who is elected, as I think will happen, then I think Trump has a little different situation because his base would support him in downsizing the public sector. But I think that's going to be the big story. The big story of 2021, it could start before that. But clearly, I'm going to argue after the economy gets going, I think the big story is going to be how do these blue states survive what is going to be a real downsizing of the public sector. I just don't see it any other way. So keep an eye on that. I think that's going to be a big story that we will be addressing. And the fact that Senator Mitch McConnell, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, today said, suggested that states could go into bankruptcy. Well, that's, I'm sure, not what the public sector unions want to hear, but that may very well be the only option. And I think you'll see some of the state schools, universities, also face some very difficult times. I mean, look, anything having to do with the public sector is going to be facing very difficult times over the next 2 to 3 years because the money is not going to be there. I mean, how does New York recover from this? You know, after we put away the health problem, and that's something we all want to do, after we put away the health problem, how is New York going to attract money to reinvest and rebuild its economy? How are you going to do it? With your taxpayers are not living there anymore. Your taxpayers now live in Texas and Oklahoma and in Florida. So how are you going to rebuild your state? It's going to be tough. New Jersey is in the same boat. So Illinois, I mean, that's probably the worst case scenario of all. I mean, that if Illinois was a private company, it would have gone bankrupt many, many years ago. So I think that's going to be a big story. And it kind of ties into restarting the economy because you got to get this economy restarted. Now, I know that people say, well, you got to make sure that if you go outside, I understand. I'm not suggesting that we flip a switch and start the whole thing. I'm not suggesting anything like that. I understand that it's not like flipping a switch. I get that. But you got to get it going slowly. You got to get some businesses going out there for no other reason that we just don't have the money. I mean, people say, well, there's a poll that says that Americans, you know, want this lockdown to continue. Okay. But have they explained to Americans what's going to happen in the second or third month? It's because at some point, the federal government is not going to have the money to send you a check. So if you're sitting at home waiting for the virus to go away, yeah, you can do that in the month of April. We've done it. You may be able to do that in the month of May because I think they may be able to put together another one of these packages to mail you a check or direct deposit you a check. I don't think we can do it in June. We just don't have the money. We just don't have the money to do it. And these states, they're in an even worse situation than the federal government. So it is going to get ugly out there, and we got to get this economy going. Yes, I know we have to do it smart, and yes, I know we have to protect our health. I get all of that. I understand all of that. But what a lot of these marches, a lot of these protests are saying is, hey, you know, I got nothing to do. I don't have any money coming in. That's what a lot of those protests are about. People want to get going. They know there's going to be a risk, but they got to get their lives going. It's not fun sitting inside and watching your business completely go downhill when only a few months ago your business was doing so well. That's not easy to do. Not easy to do. And I certainly sympathize with people who are watching all of this, and they're horrified because they have no clue of how this is all going to get put back together. So it's a difficult choice. I'm not saying it's easy. I think a lot of the governors have some tough choices to make, but this is going to be difficult, to say the least. But we got to get the economy going bit by bit, not saying all at once, but we got to get it going. We're going to take a break. I'll be right back. Thank you. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, it was 50 years ago today, April 22nd, 1970, that we celebrated the first Earth Day. And I don't know how much we have done this every year, or how we have celebrated this every year. I'm not sure that we have celebrated it. I mean, I think we kind of do, but sometimes there's more people than others. But anyway, it was 50 years ago today, and I remember it quite well. But what I never understood, and I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, maybe it is, maybe it's not, but Earth Day, the first Earth Day was on April 22nd, 1970, which also happened to be the 100th anniversary of Vladimir Lenin's birthday. He, you know, he would have been 100 had he lived. And I never, you know, for a long time, I wonder if these two things were related. That is, the fact that Earth Day was being celebrated on Lenin's birthday. And the reason I always suspected something is because there were a lot of anti-capitalism elements within the environmental movement that supported Earth Day. And I have a post about this, in fact, coming out Thursday morning. Hope you have a chance to see it. But it's just fascinating to me, this coincidence. I've never been able to have an explanation of why they picked that day, but it's just a coincidence that Earth Day would be on Vladimir Lenin's birthday. I don't know. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but I'm curious as to why it is. I also have a post Wednesday morning over at the American Thinker about the situation in Mexico with respect to coronavirus. The biggest problem in Mexico is that we don't know. I mean, it's not that the government is withholding information. I'm not accusing anybody of that. But there's clearly not enough information. And I've talked to many Mexican friends who are basically saying, you know, we don't know. Mexico City is a city, I don't know, 20 million people, certainly the metropolitan area, a city that has a very, very popular metro where thousands, if not millions of people, ride it every day, perhaps every week. So you have these large subway cars with thousands of people every day inside. I mean, that to me would be a perfect place for a virus like this to be transmitted. And many Mexicans are afraid that there is a lot more going on in their country about this virus than what they know. So this is why I think it's important for President Trump to address the question of the border. We have got to be very careful about who comes into the country right now, particularly from the South. And we just have to understand that we really don't know about coronavirus in Mexico. We just don't know what their information is. Now, up in Canada, I think they're more transparent and we have a better feel for it. But down in Mexico, I certainly don't, and my Mexican friends don't either, which is an interesting way of looking at it. They don't believe what their government is saying. They're not saying the government is lying to them. They just don't think the government knows what's going on down there. Well, there's a lot of talk about Vice President Biden or former Vice President Biden and who the VP selection is going to be, the latest, I've used the phrase in the past, you know, the flavor of the week. The latest one, of course, that everybody's in love with is the idea of Michelle Obama. That apparently turns on a lot of Democrats. And I can understand the value of Michelle Obama. She's very popular. She would clearly generate enthusiasm in the ranks. And look, with all due respect to Mr. Biden, he needs enthusiasm right now because he doesn't have it. So the question is, would she do it? Now, I still believe that she won't. But, you know, maybe they can persuade her. But my gut feeling is that she's not going to do it. She's just not, you know, I don't think she wants to get into a campaign. But there's no question that she would energize the Democrats and at least maybe bring together Democrats, because right now they're not really as together or energized as you think they may be. So it's probably going to be a woman. He has pretty much committed to that. And I wouldn't be surprised if the convention forces him to take Stacey Abrams of Georgia, a black woman and a very popular person in that convention. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and good night, and we'll talk to you later.